And will you be nervous?
Nope. I'm excited. Obviously, I know it's a playoff game. More attention, more eyes. But to me, I won't be nervous. Would I be hyped? Yeah, I get hyped for every single game. But nerves, I wouldn't say that. For me, it's just another football game. I talked to Strahan when he was here not too long ago, and I asked him, I was like, what's really the difference between playoff football? Obviously, like, the intensity rises and all that, but the biggest, best advice he gave me was just don't make the game bigger than it needs to be. I'm keeping that advice, sticking with that advice.
What is going on, Giants fans? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Big Blue with JQ. Today's a special episode because Tom and I are here to do a game preview for Super Wild Card Weekend. Sounds weird, right? The New York Giants, after five consecutive losing seasons of torture, pain, and suffering, are a playoff team. Brian Daboll, as a first-year head coach, has miraculously turned this team around and brought this team a playoff berth. And Tom, I could not be more excited. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You look great, by the way. You look good.
Thank you. You look great, too. Had a lot of craziness with work the last month, but we are back. And, yeah, apparently we have to preview a New York Football Giants playoff game in the year of our holiness, 2022-2023. Couldn't be me. Don't know how we got here. Don't ask me how. Happy to be here. And apparently we have a pretty decent shot of coming away with a win on Sunday.
Yeah, this is exciting. I just wanted to touch on something. So October 1st, 2019 was the first episode of Talking Big Blue with JQ. I started it back in college with my buddy Kevin Meiselman. Tom knows Kevin very well. And now here I am with Tom. 4 years later now. Holy crap. So it's been a while.
Time flies.
Yeah, but back to what Tom was saying, the Giants have a really good chance at winning this game on Sunday at 4:30. A nice big primetime game for the New York Giants, even though every playoff game is a primetime game. But anyway, the Giants lost to the Vikings 27-24 on Christmas Eve afternoon on a 61-yard field goal by Greg Joseph. Guy had an absolute cannon of a kick. But when you play in the dome, stuff like that happens. But I think the Giants definitely go into this game, Tom, with a big chip on their shoulder. And I think this is a game that they can win. And I know it might sound weird to people like, you know, Minnesota's 13-4, but they're not the best 13-4 team you've ever seen. And they are a beatable team. Anyone can beat anyone on any given Sunday.
Yeah. And the way they played on Christmas Eve, definitely. And it's not just us saying it. The people from the team itself have been saying it. That game gave them a lot of confidence to where they kind of knew what the playoff seedings were looking like on Christmas Eve. And after that game, they felt comfortable where if they had to go back to Minnesota and play a playoff game in that building, they were pretty confident that they could do the one or two extra steps differently to come out with a win. And yeah, of course, a bomb of a field goal was pretty much the only thing that decided that game, because the Giants came back and scored with like no time left late in the game. This is it, dude. This is the first time we get to see our guys, this young group that's been drafted, pretty much any and all Dave Gettleman guys that are still around, all the way up to the first draft with the new regime last year. This is our first shot to see them in the playoffs. And Coach Daboll has been very adamant the last week, I would say, in his pressers, kind of explaining to people that he personally isn't too worried about the lack of experience, because in his eyes, it's proper coaching and, you know, fundamentals and game plan, this and that, that get you far in the playoffs just as much as proper experience would. So while the Giants obviously lack experience in every possible corner of the roster, they have one of the best coaching staffs in all of football. So that's going to pretty much balance it out. And like you said, Minnesota, yeah, 13-4 is an amazing record. It's hard to win the NFL. every fan base will take 13 wins every single year, but their point differential, I think, is it's either like plus four or it's in the negatives.
I think it's in the negatives. I think it's negative three.
I think it's negative three because they got blown out by the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the
Packers. Yeah.
So the team is beatable. I'm kind of happy that they played each other already, and not only already, but you know, within the last month. So there's not going to be a lot of figuring each other out early on in this game. Both teams are going to start hot. They're going to start fast, and I think it's going to be another one that comes down to the finish again, and hopefully it ends in our favor this time.
No, I like you said, Tom, I hope it comes down in the Giants' favors for sure. Absolutely. But, you know, looking back at that game, that was a game the Giants really should have won, and a game I was bummed out that they actually ended up losing because they lost the turnover battle, and, you know, they let Minnesota with like a minute and change left drive down the field and get into that field goal range, or at least enough to give Greg Joseph a shot at a 61-yarder, which he booted right through the uprights. The play before, Jefferson had that 17-yard screen pass from behind the line of scrimmage. So the Giants definitely go into this game knowing they could beat this Minnesota team. And I definitely think Minnesota knows that. And Minnesota's a loud stadium, and it's a tough environment to play in. But when the Giants went there, I wasn't expecting them to have that good of a game on Christmas Eve. And seeing what I saw then makes me feel really confident about this weekend. And I think with Minnesota's kind of cruddy, crappy defense, I think the Giants can take advantage of this defense. And if the Giants go up a score or two and have momentum, you know who's getting the rock all game. It's number 26. And if Saquon has that ability to do what he does coming off a full week of rest, honestly, the past couple of weeks, his carries, the number of carries he's been getting, Tom, has gone down drastically. I think Dable's been resting him. I think this is what the bigger picture was. You know, all the starters sat out week 18, but Saquon's going to be fresh as hell, as fresh as can be. So I'm really excited to see him. And like you were saying, Tom, a lot of these guys who were drafted by Dave Gettleman haven't sniffed the playoffs in the 4 or 5 years they've been playing. And now I'm just super, you know, super excited for those guys to finally get a chance to get a crack at the playoff games. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. The only Giants on the team who were on the 2016 team were Sterling Shepard and Landon Collins. So it's definitely cool to see a bunch of new guys and young faces in there. And oh man, I'm so excited, Tom. I can't wait. This week has been very slow, and I know I'm going on and on, but it's been such a long week, and I've just been waiting for Sunday. And now here it is, Friday the 13th today. We're a couple days away, and I can't wait.
It's so weird that we're talking about this.
We've talked about the past of talking Big Blue. The years before that, when you and I started doing the podcast together, when you joined up with me, those years were terrible.
Horrible, dude.
We talked about the same things every week. Man, this team's really bad. They should have won this game, but they didn't. The coaching sucks. The GM sucks. A lot of banter over the years, but I'm happy to share this moment with you, Tom, because this is really cool for us. And
wow, this is...
I didn't think this was going to happen this year. You know, everyone doubted the Giants. They were like, oh, it's a rebuild year. You know, you get your footing in the ground. Dable can fix up the team and then go from there. But for the Giants to be 9-7-1 and playing in wild card weekend is definitely an awesome experience for the fan base.
Yeah, and it's something that nobody really expected. And the fan base kind of had to humble themselves a little bit, which me and you talked about before the season even started, because the second you get overexcited about a new regime and it doesn't go your way early in the season, all of a sudden you're like, you know, you stop believing in what they're doing. Cause if your expectations are too high, that's why most of the fan base properly came into the year saying, you know what? An entire new coaching staff, a brand new GM. Let's take this slow. Let's not rush this date we got going on here with this new regime. Let's take things slow. Let's build this relationship up, build the team, you know, win some games, lose some games, but at the end of the day, understand that long term, they're building something. And then, yeah, fast forward, they were what, 6-1?
Yep. 6-1.
I think 7-2. So they're miles ahead of schedule. A few rebuilding teams coming into this year wound up miles ahead of schedule, and the Giants were one of them. So we're a lot. Did we expect this in the beginning of the year? No, nobody did. Even the overly excited fans, I promise you, didn't expect them starting the way they did and then closing out the close games where, ever since I've been on this show in history, the Giants have lost easily. They'd be up in the fourth quarter. They'd be up 7 with 2 minutes left. The other team drives down, scores. It'll go to overtime. The other team wins. Or the Giants are up 3 with a minute left. The other team drives and scores a touchdown. Giants, the game is tied. Team drives down, hits an 84-yard field goal to win the game. We were so used to those things, but this year none of those things happened. And when they did happen, like the Minnesota game, it didn't feel as life extinguishing, because they already had such a good record and they were already such a good team compared to recent years. So we got to enjoy this. Here's where I am. I'm in the part of the road trip where we've already made our last rest stop, our last little stop at the place with the bathrooms and all the food places. We've made our last stop, and there's only about like 3 more hours left of the road trip.
What'd you stop to get to eat at the rest stop?
I usually go right for whatever big name is there. So McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, one of those three is always there. Or if I'm really not hungry, or if I know, my stomach ain't going to cooperate with that for the rest of the trip, I'll just go in and grab a bag of trail mix and just pop that bag the rest of the trip. So I'm at the point now for this season where, because every season's a road trip, I'm at the part of the road trip now where we've already made that last rest stop and we're in the home stretch to the vacation spot. I'm just going to enjoy whatever songs come on the radio. So this weekend, I'm not going to go tooth to nail, losing my head over this game. Obviously, yeah, it's playoffs, it's go time. The Giants have a legitimate chance of winning this game. But also, the second something bad happens, just take a step back and realize that we're in the playoffs. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
No, I 100%.
I'm here for the ride. I'm just happy to be here at this point. We're at the point of the casino trips of the vacation where we have so much house money from earlier in the week, and the trip ends Monday. We're playing with house money the entire day, dude.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, dating back to just this entire season, it's been a ride. It's been a blast. A lot of things we didn't expect have happened this year, and it's great to be here. And you can't take that for granted. It's really cool to be a playoff team. Like you were saying, though, mistakes happen. The Giants this year started off against the Titans down 13-0, and they looked like the old Giants of the past. And it was like, oh boy, like here we go. Like, we're going to deal with this BS again this year. But no, then they turned it around and really showed people. So win or loss on Sunday, you got to be really proud of this damn team and how far they've came this year. But listen, Tom, I agree, but I agree to disagree. You don't make the playoffs on accident, correct? You make it for a reason, right? And listen, Dable and Saquon and a bunch of the guys have been saying it on the team. Our goal wasn't just to make the playoffs, it wasn't just to be in the playoffs and here we go. Like, we lost first round. Like, our goals were accomplished for this year. No, like, you make it, you're one of the 14 teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I know sounds like I'm getting ahead of myself, but
no, you're right.
I mean, have you seen crazier? Look at the Giants in 2007, 2011, what those teams' records were. What, 10-6, 9-7, around that ballpark? Think about it that, anything can happen. I mean, that one year in 2017, it was Blake Bortles versus Tom Brady and Nick Foles versus Case Keenum in the championship round. So you never know what can happen. That's why you just got to enjoy the ride and be a part of it. And listen, if they lose, they lose. Listen, there's nothing you can do about it as a fan. It'll be heartbreaking for me because I don't want the season to end. I mean, this is the one of the best seasons, to memory for me. I'm at this age now where you're at a point in life where you can remember everything because you're mature, you're much older and mature. So it's just really cool to enjoy every moment. And listen, if they win, I'm going to be the happiest damn kid on earth. I'll tell you that, man, I really will be. And I'm just excited because I know what the what's at stake, and you never know what team can get hot at the right time and, you know, make a little run. You know, that's like what my goal is, always like win a playoff game. You know, I always want to be one of those top 10 teams in the NFL as a fan. So, but I mean, this game is going to be really exciting. I think, like how Tom was saying, it's definitely going to come down to the wire. Vikings are favored by 3 points is the spread right now. It's the closest game of the weekend, and it's the highest over under of any of the games this weekend for Wild Card Weekend. For the Giants defense, it's stopping Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook and TJ Hockenson. Those guys were animals last time against us. Not so much Dalvin Cook, but Hockenson and Jefferson both went over 100 yards receiving in the air that day. So it's going to be big for that Giants defense, who is getting back key pieces with should be Adoree Jackson, and McKinney's already back. So this is a good matchup for this Giants defense to really test themselves. And if they end up winning this game, they'll probably be going to Philadelphia to play another stud wide receiver group.
Yep. An absurd amount of money over after week 18 from Sunday night to Tuesday. An absurd amount of money reportedly came in on the Giants to win the Super Bowl once the playoff bracket was fully figured out.
Plus 6,000 or something?
It was – books had it between plus 8,000 and plus 5,000, so 8 to 1 and 5 to 1.
So if you threw, $10 –
sorry, 80 to 1 and 50 to 1.
So if you threw, $10 and it was, plus 8,000 and they end up winning, how much do you win again?
800.
So I threw 108,000. Interesting. I'm not getting ahead of myself, but
because everyone starts building the storyline, and they're saying that the last two Super Bowls the Giants won 10-ish years ago, they had the same kind of team. They had just a tough, gritty team with a relatively okay quarterback, but obviously we're not gonna put down what Eli did in those playoffs, but. Up until that point, going into those playoffs, they had the worst run game, and they had a relatively bottom tier defense. But each of those things stepped up in those four playoff games, and that's all you really need. You can be the worst team in the world all regular season, but if you somehow make the playoffs, and everyone alludes to it all week, the regular season doesn't matter at that point. Everyone has zero wins and zero losses. You just have to be the better team for 60 minutes for four games, three games if you have a bye. And that's all they got to do. They have to go back to a place that they've already played well at and almost won, and just do the one or two extra things and not let a 85-yard field goal take the game away from you. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I go into work at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Game starts at 4:30, so I'll probably get to work a little bit earlier. That way, I get a seat for kickoff, and I'm excited to watch our team in the playoffs for the first time. It's 2016 doesn't feel real. That's how short span it was, and how much of an anomaly it was compared to the last decade worth of terribleness. So I'm excited to watch our team in the playoffs for what feels like the first time in a decade. And it'll be a lot of fun. Win or lose, next week we're going to talk about how happy we were that this season went the way it did and how fun it was to talk about Victory Mondays and them winning games rather than me and you being in my pickup truck talking about them being 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, and 1-8. In all consecutive weeks. It just put a smile on both of our faces, and this is what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be constant sadness and losing all the time. You're supposed to get wins in between, and we will, and let's go win a playoff game.
Absolutely. I mean, I do miss recording in the truck. We had a good time. The truck in college.
Terrible vibes because it had so much losing with it.
It did have a lot of losing, but we had good times recording in the truck, right. I would say. I do have a question for you. If you're to look back at this game, you wake up Monday morning, and the Giants win this game, who is the talk? Like, who is the talk on the New York, on the Giants team? Like, who's going to be the reason why they won this game?
I think Daniel Jones, for better or worse, is going to win or lose them the game. If you look at the way the team played and the way he played against the Vikings, he played out of his mind. And, you know, they almost won. The one or two extra things and then the field goal at the end is what inevitably lost them the game. I think if he has a terrible turnover game, which, you know, knock on wood, we haven't really seen him have this year. He's done so well at not turning the ball over. I think if he doesn't do that and he just keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to wind up making those extra plays with his legs or those one or two throws. It's going to be him. The only way it won't be him that we're talking about is, you know, if it's a Saquon 160-yard game that he just completely runs over the Vikings for a full 60 minutes. But, you know, I think the defense is going to play relatively fine. They have a couple of guys back that they didn't have against the Vikings last time, so hopefully they can somehow figure a way to at least slow down Justin Jefferson. Without a top-tier cornerback, you're not going to shut him down, and the Giants don't have that right now. So you just got to at least slow him down to the point where you can at least make one or two stops on a drive on a third down, and, you know, they go from 10 drives into the red zone to 8. And that right there can be the difference of the game, because both teams, it seems like, are really good in the red zone. They have really good kickers. I just gave you about 6 answers to your question that only required one. But next week, if we're breaking down the game, can I break it up? If they, who it's going to be about if they win and then if they lose?
Yeah, absolutely.
If they lose, I'm thinking it's just going to be kind of like, I'm thinking it's just going to be I feel like the defense, you know, when you look at, yeah, they only lost by a field goal last time in Minnesota, but Hockenson had double-digit catches and, what, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns? Yeah. Yeah. Justin Jefferson had double-digit catches, almost 200 yards, or did he have 200 yards?
He had a buck 30, but still, though, it's a lot.
Felt like 200.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And he scored, and so I think inevitably if they lose the game, it's going to be because, you know, because, again, everyone's got to remember, this is pretty much the same defense as last year, besides Kayvon Thibodeau, of course. You know, they didn't sign a bunch of free agents. They didn't draft a relatively large defensive haul from this draft. Kayvon Thibodeau, of course, at pick number 5, has done enough to change it. But what this coaching staff has done with, I want to say, at least 75% of the same roster as last year, is the only reason the team is where they are right now. So if the Giants wind up blowing it, I think it's not going to be because of the offense. I think it'll just be because the defense isn't equipped to stop guys like Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, and Dalvin Cook for a full 60 minutes. Because Kirk Cousins doesn't have to play that well for those 3 guys to still make a difference. Those 3 guys can each score, and boom, the Vikings have 21 points.
No, so, yeah, and I totally agree with you on both of your players or sides of ball.
I gave a lot of answers.
No, you're good. Simple question. Listen, but we've seen Minnesota have really good games and then really bad games. They haven't been a very, like, overall consistent team. And you, like, that's what you look at and it's like, wow, like, maybe the Giants will get lucky and they'll get like that Minnesota team that came out against the Packers like 2 weeks ago and they absolutely laid an egg. I mean, it's possible. Listen, I trust Wink Martindale a lot, and he's not going to back down and not bring the blitz a lot. He's going to blitz Kirk Cousins. Minnesota's missing their starting right tackle, and their center is just officially now is starting to fully participate in practice at the end of this week. But have you seen any center stop Dexter Lawrence this year? I don't think so. No. And by the way, Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence just got voted to the second team All-Pro team. So congrats to those guys for a phenomenal year they've both had. Truly hats off to those guys. But back to what you were saying, who's going to be the talk Monday morning when it comes around after this game of the Giants win? I want to say Daniel Jones, but I just got this feeling, man. And I get these feelings all the time when I think Saquon's going to have a big game. And I got a feeling, man. I really do. I think this is the game where you see one of those like buck 50 rushing yard games. Like he only had 14 carries last time against Minnesota. I think you add 10 more to that. I think he's going to be close to 30 carries this game. And I think he's going to be very efficient in those carries. And, you know, he talks about it. This is what he's dreamt of, playing in a playoff game. I don't think he's going to let us down. And I have a lot of confidence in Daniel Jones to lead this offense. This Minnesota secondary is weak. They're not that good. They have Patrick Peterson. I get it, but he's an older guy now. He's not that same, you know, very high talented player that he used to be. Daniel Jones picked apart that defense last time, and I think he's going to do it again. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday. I really do, Tom. I think those two guys are going to lead us to victory. And whether it's Saquon has 10 carries for 100 yards or less, or Daniel Jones has 300 yards throwing, they're gonna figure out a way to get it done, no matter what it is. And
what
I thought you said something.
No, what's cool is, you know, he's already played well enough that it's pretty much common knowledge that he's coming back next year as a quarterback of the team. So
what does a win do for him contract wise, you think? Or like, what does a win do for his career?
I think more his career than the actual value of the contract. I feel like the way the money is in professional sports today, you know, like the number is going to seem quote large regardless, just because the money the leagues make, the more money the leagues make equals the more money the contracts are going to be. And obviously the quarterback position is the highest one in sports, the highest paid one in sports. So the contract's going to be quote a lot, no matter what, even if he wins this week. But career wise, you know, all everyone ever says is that he can't play in the moment and, you know, he's not legit and this and that. He's already played well enough to solidify a spot as the Giants quarterback for at least the next couple of years. If you win a playoff game and you're the first and you're the only quarterback to win a game since Eli Manning 10 years ago, you've, in terms of your career, respectfully, you're not going anywhere, because, you know, everyone always says for coaches, you can't really fire a coach if you make the playoffs. It's kind of a thing where it does happen, and it's most likely going to happen this offseason too for teams that we're not going to waste time getting into. But, you know, like a quarterback that plays well enough with the, yes, the coaching staff has done a phenomenal job with him, but career wise, to go this far and to win a playoff game on the road, there's not really much more to say about him. Of course, all everyone's going to talk about is, yeah, but it was the defense, it was the coaching staff, it was this and that. We can't keep playing this game. If he
when's this kid going to start getting credit? You know,
exactly. If he puts up the exact same numbers that he did on Christmas Eve and they win, he's all we're going to be talking about next week on all the radio shows, is that they had a playoff game on the road in a very tough environment. He showed up, he played well, and they won. And he's 1-0 in the playoffs. So career wise, it's not obviously make or break, because he's played well enough where he's coming back next year, but it'd be a hot start to a playoff career that we obviously none of us really expected to begin this year, or if at all.
Couldn't agree with you more, Tom. I'm really looking forward to this game, because I think he's going to shine. I really think this kid is. I mean, he plays for a big market team. The bright lights don't get to him. I mean, he's everything you want in a quarterback. He keeps his head down. He works hard every day. Saquon says it all the time. First guy at practice, last guy to leave. The guy's a class act. And Tom, I'm really excited to see him go out there this weekend and ball out. And I mean, for the rest of the team too. I mean, this is such an important game for all these young guys. Like a guy, for example, Leonard Williams, not the youngest guy. He's basically a veteran. He's been in the league 8 years now, and this is his first playoff experience game. First playoff berth, I should say, too. And I'm sure he's to the moon excited, jumping for joy. And, you know, back to the coaching staff, Dable, Wink, Mike Kafka, they'll have these guys ready to go. And they're really going to put on a show, I think on Sunday. I think this is the game where the Giants can handle this Minnesota team and go in there and win. And I, I am expecting a win. I am because of all the confidence the Giants are playing with right now, Tom. This team has been on fire the past four weeks to wrap up the season. And I think it's really a good thing to go into the playoffs with a lot of confidence. I was also, my last note I'll add in, I was also a big fan of Dable resting every single starter week 18. I thought that was a money move. I thought that was great on Dable's part. And you look at, what's his name, the Chargers coach, Stanley?
Brandon Staley.
Yeah, Brandon Staley. Mike Williams is now out for the game on Saturday against the Jaguars because he got hurt in week 18. But this is the thing. I want to touch on this quick. Chargers and the Giants were in the same situation. They're locked into their playoff seeding spot. They have nothing to play for week 18. Dable rests everyone. But Staley out there, whatever his freaking name is, sorry. Staley, yeah. Goes out there and plays his starters for three quarters. Mike Williams gets hurt. He just suffered a fracture in his back. I just looked at the reports on Twitter. So his season's over. And now your top two wide receiver is gone for the rest of the year. And you want to make a playoff run. Still think the Chargers are going to win that game, though. But
nope,
that's just me. I don't know. You know, now they're missing a big piece. So I got to think about that. So
coaching's going to win that game alone. And Doug Peterson is just equators ahead of Brandon Staley as a coach. It was a little bit different for the Chargers because Sunday morning, they were not locked into where they were. They needed the Ravens to lose. But luckily for them, they played at 4. The Ravens played at 1. The Ravens had already lost. So like you said, their spot was locked. I don't know what went through his head. I've never liked him as a coach ever. I've been on the record for that ever since he got there. Don't like him as a head coach. Makes decisions like this, makes it easier for me to double down on my opinion. And when you look at what he did and what Dable did, it's a difference between a good coach and a bad coach. I never understood the talk all week from the local radio and New York radio and ESPN, everything. Everyone's saying that Dable should start guys for even a quarter. No, why? Why? You're in the playoffs. An extra quarter and a half of experience isn't going to matter long-term when resting them so they are guaranteed to play the next week means twice as much as a quarter and a half of experience with the risk of rolling your ankle, hurting your knee, fracturing your back like Mike Williams did. I kind of knew all week he wasn't going to inevitably play everyone because there was, of course, no need to. And I'm happy that he kind of stuck to that because now this team comes in ready to roll fully healthy. And you look at a team like the Chargers, who are a lot better than the Giants in every aspect of the game. They're missing their number two wide receiver because he was playing meaningless minutes. So for the Chargers fans, I'm sorry you have to deal with this. Fortunately enough for you, I think if the Chargers lose, this is Brandon Staley's last game as a head coach of the Chargers. But it is what it is, man. It's not our problem, right?
No, yeah, bad coaching. Blank, period, the end. That's all it
is. Dable knows what he's doing.
He's just him.
Everyone was rested. The Giants still low-key played that game close. Shout out Kenny Galladay, scored his first touchdown as a New York Giant, which, of course, Twitter ate up the rest of the next 3 days because on the playoff depth chart, he's wide receiver 1 now.
So everyone... it was fixed. It was adjusted.
Damn.
Yeah. Go back to reality, everyone. It's okay.
So we're back to reality, but everyone was saying, like, you know, is this the boost that Dable needed to see out of Galladay? Because they were talking on the sideline after he scored. So it's a little thing like that where, I don't know, you know, in terms of the, quote, backups that were in, which Galladay was at that point, for him to kind of score, and the catch he made was unbelievable. That was
one of the nicest touchdown catches I think I've seen all year. And yes. I want to add in, you know, in the beginning of the year, I was listening to WFAN, Tiki and Tierney yesterday. Like, at the beginning of the year, I thought everyone thought I was going to go sideways with Galladay. Some of the comments he made, what the coaching staff was saying, I thought it was going to get ugly. Yeah. And, you know, Galladay kind of just, you know, shut his mouth, kept to himself, and kind of just went out there and practiced and worked and, you know, took it like a pro, like a real pro, man. And You know, they were saying on WFAN the other day, too, like the team went out to dinner after that Indianapolis win to clinch a playoff berth. Guess who picked up the tab for everyone? Like that $40,000 tab. Kenny Golladay.
Bingo.
I mean, yeah, when you're making that much, I'm sure it's nothing. Yeah. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe you'll see him in like a red zone package. Maybe he gives him a shot. But, you know, it just wasn't meant to be at the end of the day. And that's all. But all I can say about Kenny Golladay is he handled it like a true pro. He really did. But no, this is, you know, this is cool. I mean, like you said, the Giants, I think, boosted their confidence with the way the third string and second stringers played against that Eagles starting offense and defense. I think that definitely gives his team a lot of confidence going into the postseason. And Tom, I'm ready, bro. I'm ready. Super excited. It's super nice that I have Monday and Tuesday off afterwards, because if they lose, I have 2 days to reset myself and get my life back going again. But you know, I'm really excited, bro. And I think this is a game the Giants can win. And back to what I was saying earlier in the episode, if the Giants can go up a score and hold the lead, I think Saquon Barkley is going to be, he's going to be an animal in this game. And I think no matter what the score is, he's going to be an animal. But the Giants can be up in the fourth quarter and have to kill the clock, you know who the ball is going to. So I'm looking forward to it, Tom. We're going to have a good time this weekend, no matter what. That's all I got, dude, before I start punching holes in my walls. I'm so excited. So,
yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We have, luckily, we're not playing tomorrow. Today's Friday. We're not playing tomorrow. So they're playing the middle of the day, Sunday, right? 4:30.
Yeah, 4:30.
Yeah, so that they're the middle game on Sunday. So enjoy enjoy the Buffalo games at 1 o'clock, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah,
I believe so. Because our Niners,
you know, we're just so focused on the Giants, you know, we don't pay attention. No, so the first game you're talking about Saturday, right? Not Sunday.
No, Sunday.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, first game Sunday is Miami Buffalo.
Right. So enjoy and the then, Bills absolutely running the Dolphins out of Buffalo. And then that game, that atmosphere is going to be unbelievable too. And then, put on, listen, for the people that were actively watching 10 years ago, whatever you wore during those 07 and 011 playoff runs, if you still got it, I need you to put it on because it's go time. They're going to need that magic. And let's mess around and win a playoff game, dude.
I can't believe that.
Can you imagine a Victory Monday playoff edition? No.
Yes, I've been thinking about it. I've been getting ahead of myself. I keep thinking about a rematch with Philly in my head and how I just want to
absolutely. Everyone's doing that. It's crazy. Everyone's.
And, you know, it what sucks is the public is all on the Giants, which I hate. But, you know, I like the attention. I like the attention because other teams in the league have gotten, you know, favored by the public and have won plenty of games this year. So I think this is a game that's going to come down to the end, and I just hope it's in our favor. That's all. We'll see what happens. Tom, always good to hear from you, bro. Enjoy your Friday, too, sir. All right?
Yes.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bro. Later.
All right, guys. Everyone enjoy the game. Have a good time. Do what you got to do to be the number one fan. Peace.
Peace.